So my name's Stuart from EPFL, she said. I'm going to be talking about Persona, which is a framework that we built to make bioinformatics computations fast, efficient, and scalable. So on the agenda for today, I'm going to start with a quick motivation to explain to you guys why we're interested in bioinformatics and why that we've been working in this space. We'll spend a bit of time talking about some bioinformatics data formats and tools that we typically see in the area today. We're going to talk about a few of the little problems that we found there and how we solve those, and then we'll end with some performance results. So this chart is really summing up why we're interested in bioinformatics and why a lot of people are interested in bioinformatics. This is showing how the cost of whole genome sequencing has literally plummeted over the past number of years from hundreds of millions of dollars to sequence one person's whole genome down to less than $1,000 today, and really dropping a lot faster than Moore's Law. With some companies that are making these machines saying that they're gonna be able to sequence whole genomes for less than $100 very soon, so it's becoming incredibly cheap. What this means is that genome sequencing is no longer a wet lab problem. They basically solved that, it's less than $100, and it's really becoming an IT systems problem, which makes it important for this community in particular to think about. So why is that? So when you are doing genome sequencing, you start with some genetic material, your DNA, feed it to this big fancy machine, which is going to essentially digitize that DNA, produce a bunch of data, typically on the order of hundreds of gigabytes, which will directly translate into usually several hours of compute time, given the systems that we see today. Now, the implication of cheap sequencing means that we're going to be doing a lot of it, which is going to generate a truly massive amount of data when you consider just the amount of data for one person. And this is basically where we're at today. We're gonna start doing this very soon. And so we need to think about how we're gonna handle this kind of load. We're going to need efficient systems that scale well to deal with this kind of workload. So let's take a quick look at some bioinformatics data and tools that we typically see today, focusing in particular on the data that comes out of the sequencing machine and a few of the things that we typically do to it in a bioinformatics pipeline. So these sequencing machines typically work via a chemical process that basically splits your DNA into a bunch of small pieces and outputs these. These are typically called reads in the literature, which consist of the bases, right? 100 to 200 bases, very small. And they're stored in a file format called FASTQ, which I'm showing here, where we're storing some basic metadata, this bases themselves, ATCG, et cetera, and some ASCII encoded quality scores. So this file format, I'm showing one record of it here, multiply that by a few hundred million, and you have your whole data set. Now that you have all of these little reads from the sequencing machine, you have to basically construct the person's genome from those, typically using a process called alignment, where you're taking all of those reads and aligning them to a reference genome, usually allowing for insertions and deletions and mismatches, normally because the sequencing machine has a typically high error rate and you have to account for that. Again, multiply that by a few hundred million, and this process will typically take from many minutes to hours, depending on how much data you have. Now, once we have these aligned reads, we're going to usually store them in a different file format called SAM, Sequence Alignment Map, where we're storing basically the same information as in FASTQ, in addition to the information of where that particular read mapped within the reference, plus some additional metadata about that alignment. This is typically followed by other processes in a bioinformatics pipeline, duplicate marking, sorting, different kinds of recalibrations and analyses that all together will add up to typically hours of computation. So this is just a small sample, but typically in bioinformatics, we found that there are simply a lot of different file formats that people use on a regular basis, specialized formats for different steps of a pipeline. These are typically ASCII encoded files. They are typically row-oriented, monolithic files, which makes it very difficult, like at the very least non-trivial, to distribute them among multiple parallel processors and servers. The tools themselves in bioinformatics, the software tools, are typically distributed as standalone command line packages, which really have no encompassing framework to distribute them especially. So this is really where Persona comes in to try and solve these problems, where we are taking all these different kinds of formats and aggregating them together into the aggregate genomic data format, which supports all the different types of data we see there in a scalable and efficient way. With the command line tools that we're typically seeing, we're going to aggregate those together into a data flow-based compute framework that operates on the aggregate genomic data format. So I'm going to talk about both of these aspects of Persona in a bit more detail, starting with AGD. So AGD is a basic column store. So instead of orienting in rows, we're going to orient in columns. So if we think about our fast key data from the sequencer, we might have the bases, qualities, and metadata. Furthermore, AGD will split these into what we call chunks, where a chunk forms the basic unit of storage in an AGD dataset. The chunks themselves are basic file format consisting of a simple header followed by a bunch of compressed bytes that is comprised of a relative index that points to the data entries that follow. All of the chunks and columns, as well as any other globally applicable data for an AGD dataset, is going to be recorded in a top-level manifest that basically describes the dataset. And the other thing I want to point out here is that AGD is not dependent on any particular storage subsystem. You can really layer it on top of any storage subsystem. All you need is a way to store the keyed chunks of data. Makes it very easy to move it to different sorts of storage subsystems. Now that we have all of our data in a scalable, efficient format, we want to actually do some computation on it. This is where the data flow compute engine comes in. So our data flow execution framework is based directly on TensorFlow. We are leveraging the underlying data flow execution engine there. We're not actually doing any machine learning. So what we've done is basically thrown out all the machine learning operators that come with TensorFlow, and we define our own data flow operators that perform computations on AGD chunks. So a typical graph in Persona is going to look something like this, where we are feeding as input the AGD chunks. We're going to read them from our storage system, decompress and parse, perform some computation, usually in a highly parallel manner. Then we are going to, if we're producing output, we will compress that back to AGD chunks and write them back to our storage system. People have asked us why data flow, and we found that there's really a number of really good reasons to use data flow in a system like this. One of the reasons is it forces a level of modularity on your code that by itself brings a lot of great benefits. So especially in terms of balancing and queuing, balancing and tuning a system for a given set of underlying hardware. So for example, if you find that a given stage in your graph is a bottleneck, say the decompression stage, all you need to do is simply add some additional parallelism there. It's basically a one-line code change. It's very easy to tune a given graph to a given system. In addition, having such modular code allows you to easily replace different functionalities within the graph. So if you find you need to move to a different sort of storage subsystem, all you need to do is simply replace the given nodes with a different implementation to support a different sort of system. In addition, another great benefit of data flow is that queuing is really a first-class construct in data flow. So queuing allows us to separate our graph into independently running stages so that instead of having only a single chunk flowing through the graph at a given time, we can basically overlap all of these I/O and decompression and computation stages to have multiple chunks flowing through at the same time and really maximize the throughput of the overall system. So in general, we found that data flow worked really well. That's not to say everything was perfect out of the box. We did have to come up with some somewhat creative solutions for different problems that we found. For example, one of which was when we needed some more fine-grained threading behavior, in particular for the alignment problem that I described earlier, where we found that AGD chunks being optimized for storage were typically too coarse for this task because it's on a very small amount of data, these 100 base pair long reads, and we assigned an entire AGD chunk to one thread. We found that we would quickly get stragglers and lose a lot of efficiency there. So what we do to solve this problem is to split these large coarse grain AGD chunks into smaller sub chunks and then delegate those to a shared thread pool. This allows us to very efficiently maximize the use of all of the threads in the machine and avoid stragglers while keeping intact the higher level coarse grain data flow semantics of the overall system. So we can really get the best of both worlds here. So if we put all of this together, we can get our full aligner graph where we can support different types of storage subsystems, and we can have different levels of parallelism at different steps and very easily tune and balance the entire graph for maximum throughput on any given system. So we have all these data flow operators and we want to build graphs out of them, as I'm showing here. Another nice thing about using TensorFlow to build this was that the build system for TensorFlow will automatically generate Python wrappers for all of your data flow nodes that you've defined. So you can simply construct your graphs using this nice high-level interface in the Python language. So for example, we can read a chunk from our storage system, we can decompress it, and then align the reads stored within that chunk. After we do this, we can simply pass this graph that we've constructed to a TensorFlow session and execute it. So this is really nice for people who are competent programmers who want to build their own graphs at this sort of level. It makes it very easy for them. But for people in bioinformatics, a lot of times they are not necessarily experienced programmers. They typically are building shell scripts and calling things from the command line, and we want to make their lives easier. So the Persona Python layer is actually implementing a number of modules that define graphs for common bioinformatics functions, such as the alignment that I described earlier, sorting, importing, exporting data, et cetera. And then all of these different modules that are defined are aggregated together under a common shell that allows people to simply call into these functions directly from the command line through a unified interface. So no more hacking together shell scripts. You can simply access all this stuff through one unified framework. In addition, the shell has two runtimes. The local runtime, basically self-explanatory, allows you to execute graphs on your local machine. The other more interesting part is the distributed runtime, which allows you to run these graphs across clusters. So our distributed runtime is based directly, again, on the TensorFlow distributed runtime, which allows us to very easily stamp out these graphs across a number of servers in a cluster through the very same command line interface shown in the last slide. In addition, we use a distributed runtime to set up a shared queue service, which allows a user via the client to pipe in requests, perform all this computation in a very highly parallel manner across a cluster, and then receive the results back from that. We've implemented a number of features so far within Persona. We can import and export data from a variety of different commonly used formats to make it easy for people to move to this new system. We can perform sequence alignment with two different high throughput algorithms that people commonly use. We're doing dataset sorting, duplicate marking, and other sorts of statistics that we commonly see within the field as well. Okay, so now a word on performance. How well does this system actually work? So our setup is, our evaluation rather, is focused on sequence alignment using the SNAP algorithm, which is from Berkeley and Microsoft. It's a very highly tuned, high performance sequence aligner that we've integrated into Persona. Our throughput in the experiments are generally measured in bases aligned per second rather than in like bytes per second. And the data set we're using is about 223 million reads, which is about 16 gigabytes on disk. Our experiments are performed on a 32-node Linux cluster, the details of which are here and in the paper. And also, for distributed experiments, the data is housed in a 7-server Ceph object store. So in our evaluation, we want to answer a couple questions, first of which is, what are the effects of using AGD? What kind of benefits does it give us? In particular, what are the bandwidth-saving effects of moving from row orientation to column orientation, where we can read specifically only the data we need for a given task? Second, we want to see what is the general overhead of the Persona framework. We're taking all these different bioinformatics tools and inserting them into this big data flow framework. So we want to see what's the overhead or the cost of doing that. And finally, we want to see how well does the system, Persona and AGD together, actually scale? And does it impose any overheads when scaling? So to answer the first question, we're seeing here a graph that shows the percent CPU utilization as we perform alignment on our entire data set over time. We're showing the Snap standalone implementation versus the Persona Snap implementation, which uses AGD. This experiment was performed on a single disk to really see how well AGD comes into play. So we can see here that the standalone implementation commonly has some really erratic behavior, and this is because it commonly has to stop to basically wait for data to come from disk, because with these large row-oriented files, you basically have to wait. The single disk doesn't provide enough bandwidth. However, we don't have this problem with AGD because we can just read and write the data required in a much more efficient format, and we can keep all the processors fully utilized the entire time. So with AGD, we're performing significantly less I/O than with common file formats, and we're getting much more efficient use of our available hardware and bandwidth, which would be even more important when we consider data going over the network as well. For the second question, how much overhead are we seeing? We have a similar setup here where, again, we're performing alignment, but varying the number of threads that we make available. And note here that this is now on a 6-disk RAID array so that we kind of remove that I/O bottleneck and compare them apples to apples in terms of compute and throughput. So we can see that both of the implementations scale relatively linearly with a notable kink at 24 threads, which is where hyperthreading kicks in. And we can see that Persona is really imposing negligible overhead. The difference between these two lines is really about 1% or less, which is near or at the margin of error in measuring this. The other thing you might notice is this little drop at the end in the standalone implementation. This is because if you maximize the number of threads, you don't really have a free thread to do I/O and keep all the processors fed with data. In Persona, we actually don't have this problem because the data flow runtime will actually seamlessly overlap the I/O and compute phases in the graph, and we can continue scaling right up to the maximum number of threads. Now to answer the third question, we want to see how well does Persona and AGD scale? Does it impose any limits on our scaling? Well, at least up to 32 nodes in this experiment, which was all the computers that we had available, we're basically seeing linear scaling. We're not really having any sort of overhead imposed by Persona or AGD. And by scaling this way, we can align this full data set literally in 17 seconds, which is, we think, the fastest that we've seen. Certainly an improvement over many minutes to hours. I'm sure you would agree. In addition to this, a little extension of that previous experiment, because we only had 32 servers, we weren't able to totally maximize or use all the available bandwidth from our storage cluster. And in an ideal world, we want to have our compute and our I/O requirements matched. We want to have a balanced system. So we performed another experiment where we essentially remove the actual computation of the alignment process and replace that with a null operator, while still doing the same amount of I/O to basically stress the I/O subsystem of the Ceph cluster and see how far we could actually scale. So we have the original here, up to 32 nodes, and then the purple line is showing the simulated scaling. And we can get up to about 60 compute nodes before our bandwidth starts to fall off from our Ceph cluster. So at that point, we can see where we have a balanced cluster and essentially optimize our system across each on like individual machines and across the entire cluster. So in summary, Persona is a system that is providing scalable bioinformatics for the future by essentially aggregating all these different types of data under the aggregate genomic data format, which is scalable and efficient, and providing a data flow-based compute framework that operates on that data in a very scalable manner. Persona is online, it's open source. Please go and check it out. and I'm happy to take any questions. Thank you.
I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. So why specifically TensorFlow? From the system standpoint, I understand that it's the whole, like, you know, it gives you all the Python stuff. Yeah. Like you said, you discarded
We do a have
of-
a lot of benefits from it. Well, I'll give you a bit of history. Originally, from looking at just the alignment, which is where we started looking at bioinformatics, original idea was to try and accelerate this with FPGAs, which people have done before. But we initially thought, okay, we can do better. But after looking at the software, the characteristics, the algorithms that are the most efficient, we found that it didn't map so well to FPGAs. The idea was that TensorFlow having a very nice device abstraction model would be a great fit for inserting FPGAs into as well. After we determined that maybe that didn't work so well, we found all these other really nice benefits to using the system. The fact that it's modular, the fact that you can very easily add in sort of new data flow operators to do different sorts of compute while keeping the rest of the existing sort of I/O and decompression and those sort of operators makes it very easy for people to come in and extend it with additional tools and algorithms and things.
So second question then, so in this paper you talk mainly about the alignment and the sequencing part, which is, as I understand, the initial stages of processing a genome. Mm-hmm. What comes later is some more understanding and looking for, so my biological, the terms are not very specific, but so what do you see happening after whatever persona handles right now?
So we have more features on the way, including more of the things that you typically see downstream in the pipeline. Sorting is already in there. That's one that also takes quite a bit of time. The other part that really takes a lot of time is what we call variant calling, which is once you have all of your sorted aligned data, you want to see where, in particular, you have variation or mutations. And this is what variant calling detects, and it's also a very time-consuming process. So we want to see how we can speed that up through the seamless way that we can parallelize things using Persona.
Okay.
Oh. Hi, this is Atish from NetApp. So I was going through your abstract, and you mentioned a line there right at the end saying that in long term, data storage costs sort of dwarf that of computation in systems like Persona.
That's right.
Do you have any comments on that? Is there opportunity to try and fix this? Are there compute versus storage trade-offs out there wherein you probably don't need to keep the storage around all the time?
Yeah, so you're right. There definitely are compute versus storage trade-offs that will probably have to be made to make it feasible. If you go into the paper, I kind of glossed over this in the, I didn't even have it in the presentation, but we do find that storage cost is like orders of magnitude higher than the actual computation cost, at least for alignment. In terms of trading compute for less storage, there are things like reference-based compression. So after, like most of the reads in the data set when they're aligned to the reference are gonna be exact matches. So really you just need to store the location where it aligns, and then you can get the information from the reference, which is only like, I don't know, a few gigabytes compressed. It's very small compared to the actual data sets. So this is one thing you can do.
Oh, so you can do this, but that is not done as part of Persona as yet, right?
It's on the list. Always. Is to have reference-based compression, yeah.
Okay, thanks.
I'm hoping one of my interns can do it this summer.